It is another Saturday morning in CCO land when we talk cars, trucks, vans, and the problems you might be having with yours. And before you bring it in for service at your favorite shop or favorite dealer, you might want to know what could be ailing, what you're facing. Well, this is your chance to call in or text in to an actual auto mechanic who's been in the business for quite some time. Well, it sounds like you're really old. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. You are not. You're just a kid. But you've been in the business for a while, and you're back here to help our listeners out by phone or by text. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. I'm not sure about the kid thing anymore. I got, what's it, next month I turn the big 5-0, so we'll see how that goes, huh?
Goodness, yeah. Well, happy birthday early, and it's great to have you back here on CCO helping folks out, our listeners out. And that's the way we do it. Now, Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. Our time goes by so quickly. So if you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. One number will get you either, 651-461-9226. Busy week. This is the time, I think you mentioned it last week, when people are hitting the roads, maybe checking out some colleges for the kids or grandkids or whatnot, or maybe just road trips. I was at the dentist the other day talking to the hygienist who was saying that her daughter and boyfriend are hitting the road for, I think, someplace in Missouri. A lot of road trips. I assume that's what folks, at least one of the reasons, they're getting their vehicles checked out at Lloyd's.
Absolutely. You know that as we're ramping up, school season is winding down and people will start planning those road trips. And I think we're almost a week out scheduling wise now, so that as we get through May, that'll just increase and kind of hit its peak through June and July. But if you need to get your car serviced, call your shop, dealership, get on their schedule, because they're filling up fast. And then the last thing you want to do is have forgotten. Now we're leaving next week or tomorrow for a long trip across the country, across the state, and you haven't had your car serviced yet. So don't forget to take care of your car before you hit the road.
And what I assume one of the main things people are going to want to get done is an oil change. And you and I have talked about this before. For example, if, and I'm going to be in this coming week, but if people bring in their vehicle and say, I'm going to do a road trip coming up in a couple of weeks, but I need an oil change, what does that technician look for? Not just the oil and filter.
Yeah, obviously the oil and filter, they're going to have what we call shake down the front end, you know, the steering suspension components. We're going to look at the tire wear. This is a really good thorough visual inspection. Look for any things that might be due. Check the history for any kind of maintenance items. Check the maintenance interval schedule based on the mileage to see if there's anything in those items due. So it's kind of a multiple different perspective of looking at these things and make sure that we're hitting all the needed items and get that car on the road and safe for the people driving it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're already getting birthday wishes via the text screen for you, Nick. People
sending in slow down. We got about a month ago, so let's just pump the brakes on that.
There you go. Again, a car care question. We'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Texter asks this. It's a rather long paragraph, but let me just kind of summarize it. And I've heard about this before, but this listener said, I have heard from a friend that some cars, maybe mine, theirs, might need a valve adjustment. Is that a real thing, and what is it?
It is a real thing, and essentially what they're doing is the valve chain, the rockers, push rods, the upper part of the engine. Some vehicles need some adjustment at a certain interval. You know, it's usually around that 100,000-mile interval. A lot of times it goes hand-in-hand if the vehicle's equipped with the timing belt. So while you're taking the side of the motor, part of the top of the motor, or access in those areas, is the time to make those adjustments if it's required. Obviously, if you look through your maintenance interval and your schedule, you'll see a valve adjustment, and you pull the valve cover off. Some cases use a feeler gauge, if you remember what those are, and you kind of adjust those rockers to the appropriate depth. And it's just a maintenance item. Things will tighten up with time or loosen up with time. So we just want to make sure that they're right where they need to be. And that's when that adjustment would be made.
Are we talking about all cars that need that from time to time?
No. Honestly, it's mostly Hondas. And, you know, it's just the way they design them. And there are other engines out there that do require it. But it's probably farther and fewer between than it used to be, quite honestly. Most newer vehicles are pretty designed differently, so they don't have that type of setup. But once again, you look at that maintenance interval, you'll see something along the same time frame as the timing belt. if it's equipped, that'll say that that adjustment needs to be done. And it's not a big, you know, it's part of the process. It's not a huge thing to take care of. So not
that's
a big deal.
Good. That's good. Another maintenance question. We hit this once in a while. Generally speaking, when should spark plug, you mentioned spark plugs, when should spark plugs be changed in a vehicle? It doesn't mention any particular manufacturer.
This should be done based on the maintenance schedule. It varies. There are some vehicles that will say 60,000 miles. I'd say vast majority of them are back to that 100,000, 120,000 mile interval. But, you know, check with the manufacturer, check your owner's manual, look online. And the one thing I will say that I feel very strongly about this is when you do have your spark plugs replaced, that we're using the original equipment, meaning the plug that came out is the same one going back in. Somebody might say, oh, these are better, or these are just like them. I just stay away from that. If it's made by a certain manufacturer, a certain part number, that's what you want to replace it with.
All right. If you're out there fishing and you want to ask a car care question, we can do that too by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Again, don't forget Mom tomorrow, Mother's Day tomorrow, 651-461-9226 for any kind of a car care question you may have. I was thinking about this particular text, Nick, when I was behind a vehicle, kind of an SUV type of off-road, huge tires. I thought, well, these don't look like they came from the manufacturer. Really wide tires. And the texter wants to know, can you use different size tires on a vehicle?
Technically, yes. I would probably advise against it. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, you don't realize that the differentials, the transmissions, all that's designed based on that tire fitment. If you change the size, will it fit with the brake caliper in that area? Will it rub on the wheel well? So there's a lot of math that goes into it, a lot of consideration. So, it is possible, but then the speedometer might be off. So I would probably advise against it, quite honestly. If you have the tooling and the equipment, you can reprogram the computer. You can make all those appropriate adjustments. By all means, go ahead. But it's not as easy as just putting different tires on.
I remember talking to you about, and maybe Dan, 2 years ago, I had a vehicle briefly. And I didn't realize that there were the front and back of the tires were different. This was in
that is that also happened. Yeah, some of the imports, the European imports, they might have a different width of the rear tire versus the front tire. It's part of the design, and it's fine. It works fine. But then when you're replacing those tires, there's two different sizes. When you rotate them, you can only rotate them left or right. So it's a little more complicated. But you know, it's not a reason to shy away from the vehicle by any means. So if your car is equipped with different size front to rear tires, you just have to be aware of that so you don't put the wrong ones on the wrong end.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break and invite our listeners to join in on our quickly moving show as usual. Yeah, if you have any kind of a car care question, call it in. Text it in before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45, as we said. 651-461-9226. 52 degrees now. We're going to hit about 62 or so here on this Saturday from News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with and Nick Stoffel, who happens to be, among other things, an ASC-certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, etc. For folks that don't know where Lloyd's is located, they need some help. You have not only Lloyd's to deal with, but you've got a couple of other locations, which we really don't mention that often.
We do, and as you know, Lloyd's is in St. Paul, right on Grand Avenue, 982 Grand Avenue. If you have a question or need some advice, we will always help. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And as you mentioned, we have a couple other spots. One is at Parkway Auto Care, right in Highland Village there at the top of the hill on the corner of Ford Parkway and Snelling. And our most recent business is at 4522 East Lake Street. So it's at Lake Street and the river. It's called Longfellow Automotive. And we're learning a lot, you know, having three businesses and three locations, three sets of people. It's a lot of work, but it's really exciting. And we're attracting the right people, which is really nice. We just added another gentleman at Longfellow here about a month ago. And I couldn't be happier. So we're doing really well.
Surround yourself with good people. That is the secret for sure. All right, yeah, and again, we'll get you that information from Nick before he takes his leave, which is about 7:45 or so. Car care questions, yes, welcome. 651-461-9226. Phone it in, or you can text it in. Let's grab a phone call. Clem calling in from Red Wing this morning. I love Red Wing. Clem, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, and enjoy the show. Very informative.
Thank you.
I'm glad you put it on. Say, I have a chance to acquire a couple of older Lincoln Town cars. The problem is they do not have keys. The owner can't locate the keys. I contacted the local fellow in town that does keys. He doesn't do autos, he said, and the tow company does not want to deal with the cars if they can't unlock the ignition. Is there any trick to getting the ignition unlocked, or what can I do? I wanted to save the cars from the crusher.
No, I understand.
I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Clem, thank you.
Yeah, it's good that you're trying to keep them on the road. My first piece of advice is, depending on the vintage, you can check with the manufacturer. Up to a certain age, and I don't know the year, you can actually have a key made based on the VIN number. You're going to have to show proof of ownership and some other check some other boxes there, but that's one avenue. The other avenue is you can check with the dealership themselves to see if you brought the vehicle in or have it towed in. You know, and I understand that the one outfit doesn't want to do it, but somebody will. Somebody will be willing to maybe just wheel lift it versus a flatbed so they can get the drive wheels off the ground and get it in there. But you'll have to remove the cylinder, have it recoded, and the difficulty is you can do the ignition switch, but they're about the door lock. So this might be a little more time-consuming, a little more costly than you're anticipating, but I think the easiest thing to do is check with the dealership themselves, see if that vehicle, based on VIN number, if they can make a new key for that. That'd be the first step.
All right. Good luck with that. Wow. Texter says this, Nick, the check engine light came on after filling with gas when we were 110 miles from home pulling a camper, 2015 three-quarter ton transit van. The gas portal is seated. Should I have this checked or give it time to go out if it was just the gas?
Well, that's a good question. If the vehicle's running fine, I would say you can give it a few more days. You know, if it's running poorly, obviously get it in as soon as possible. But was it related to putting the gas in the tank in the vehicle? It's possible, but we don't know. So I would say give it a few more days. If the light does not reset, get on somebody's schedule, because as we noted, the schedules are filling up. So make that appointment. And if it goes out in between, obviously call, let them know. But if it doesn't go out, at a minimum, get the codes read, do the basic diagnostic just to determine what path you're headed down.
Again, 651-461-9226. Here's another text for you, Nick. Texter says, I just bought a 2021 Ram truck. Out of the blue, one tire lost 10 pounds of pressure. I filled it up. It's been good since. You think I should need to have the tire looked at? Comes from Don.
That's strange for sure. And if it's holding air, you know, like the last texter there, if the problem is a one-off, and it does happen, cars are, they're machines, they're computers, things can happen, they need to be reset, they'll be fine. The fact that it lost air is kind of strange, to be honest. But if it's not continue to lose any air, I would, you know, chalk it up as it was a one-time deal, odd as it is. But if you continue to lose air, fast or slow, get that looked at. Make sure it's not a puncture somewhere or something with the bead that might be allowing to lose a little bit of air.
You get a lot of that. We talk about that from time to time, if especially in the wintertime, when there's that contraction. And if the wheels, the rims are calcified or something. You guys do that work a lot, don't you, to clean the actual wheel if there's a leak around the bead?
Correct. That mating surface between the rubber of the tire and the aluminum or that, you know, whatever material the wheel's made of, a lot of times there's some corrosion there. Moisture gets trapped in there, and with time and oxygen, it'll start to corrode. And when that corrosion happens, it makes it kind of porous, to be honest, and allows a little air to leak out. Not a big leak, but it'll be nice and slow. And you know, you might lose a pound here and there, but then you're down 5, 6, 7 pounds, and you know, that's easily filled up, and you can repair that. But the thing people don't realize, when you drive that tire low on air, a decent amount, not like 1 or 2 PSI, but if it's, you know, 5, 10 PSI pounds of pressure low on air, it'll start to damage the sidewall. because the weight of the vehicle is really pushing on the side of that tire. And what we'll see is that it doesn't fold over necessarily, but it puts a crease in there. And as you're going down the road, it'll start to deteriorate that rubber wall of the tire on the inside. You might not see anything on the outside, but then we take the tire off to repair it, and it's full of all this rubber material, and which causes you to have to replace the tire. So don't just keep adding air to the tire if it's losing it. Have it repaired. You don't want to run the risk of creating a bigger problem. You end up spending more money on a new tire.
And then of course, it never happens at a convenient time. It's always inconvenient. So, yeah, get her checked out. I know we're going to have to break in a moment. Here's something we get from time to time. A listener via text wants to buy these washable filters, not only a cabin filter, but the air filter element. And he's been contemplating, he or she, buying a washable filter. What's your opinion of those? I was thinking about that myself. But, you know, first of all, they're expensive. And I'm wondering, do they work as well?
I think they're a good product. It really comes down to us. If you're kind of like a car junkie and your car's part of your hobby and your shtick, you know, by all means, yes, you're going to be on top of it. You're going to follow the interval. You're going to clean it properly. You're going to do all those things you need to do. But if you're like most of us and you just put it in there and forget about it, say, oh, I'll get to it later. Later never comes. So if it's something you're doing because it's part of your passion, yes. If you're doing it because you think it's going to save you a buck or do something for you, I would probably stick with what's standard and what came with the vehicle. So it's just kind of based on your style. But the product itself, I'm sure they're fine. I know there's a lot of marketing involved with them. Take that for what it's worth. Do your research. But yeah, it's more about the person than about the product, I would say.
Yeah, good point. All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for the weather forecast and be right back with more. Any kind of a car care question, we welcome yours either by phone or by text. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, Nick will be taking his leave just ahead of Ted Farrell's Wine Chat, which is about 7:45 this morning. So we'd love to hear from you here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Thanks to Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul helping our listeners out each week. Call in any kind of a car care question you may have while our time is, we still have some time for you. 651-461-9226. Here is another text yet. I'm looking at a few. I'm having a used motor installed, texter says, in a 2007 Nissan Maxima 3.5 liter. What should I have done to that motor before it is installed? Is there something that needs to be done, Nick?
Maybe, you know, it depends on where you purchased the engine from. A lot of these outfits do a really good job of going through them. They'll even offer you a really aggressive warranty, which I would probably do because you just don't know the history. They don't know the history, so it's a real big unknown. But, you know, spark plugs, obviously a new oil filter, maybe a thermostat. But it's really based on, I guess I would talk to the folks you're buying it from to see what they go through. A lot of times they have the capability of running it. A lot of times they'll do some of those things for you even before you purchase it. So just have some communication there. And then if they offer that warranty, even if it's a few dollars, it's probably worth it because you just don't know what you're buying. And the last thing you want to do is replace an engine at a huge expense to have a problem with it.
Does that happen a lot these days? Do people get new engines installed?
Well, with the price of vehicles and the cost of used vehicles, really depending on what it is, but we do it, yeah. I mean, it's not that uncommon, to be honest with you.
That's got to be a tough job, I would think. Of course, you've got all sorts of equipment that make it a little bit easier.
We have quite the group, and you know, we have a space upstairs at Lloyd's that's kind of like a tool area, a specialty tool area, and that seems to be growing by the day some days.
Looking at a text on wanting your opinion or thoughts on Ford's 1.5 three-cylinder engine. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know too much about it. You know, there's been three-cylinder engines in the past with different makes and models. You know, if the engineering's done, the technology's there, I always pause with, you know, just how I operate. I want to see it out there for a little while, make sure things work the way they're supposed to. I don't want to be the guinea pig. So I'm usually not the first one in line on most things. So, you know, if you're the type of person where it's the latest and greatest and you're excited by it, please, they need people to buy that stuff. You know, they need people to, you know, utilize it, you know, see what the maintenance or the quality, the longevity of it is. So usually not my path, but we need people out there doing it. So if it's something that you're into, please do.
All right. 651-461-9226 for your phone call or text. Speaking of phones, Warren calling in from Florida this morning. Warren, good morning. Thanks for calling. Good morning. What can we help you with?
I got a 2017 Chevy Malibu with a 2-liter, but I took it into the dealer, the Ford dealer, a Chevy dealer, this week, and they said I had a small oil leak, but they said it was like $5,000 to do the job. I have extended warranty to cover it all, but I just thought they said the labor rate's $250 an hour. I just thought that was pretty high. I wanted to get your opinion of it.
Well, labor rates kind of depend on the market that you're in. You know, I think in our particular market, you're probably getting close to $200, maybe just under it, depending on the if it's a dealership, independent shop, a mom and pop on the corner of a small town, it's going to be all over the board. And I would say on the leak itself, you mentioned they said it's a small leak. You have an extended warranty. Personally, that extended warranty is a form of payment. That's great if they're going to cover it. But I'd be more curious about what this leak is and how significant it is. I don't always just want to do stuff to do it. If they can demonstrate or show me, show you pictures, take it back in the shop and point at it, and you can see exactly what it is and what's entailed. Because if it's something we're just doing to do, it isn't necessary, I'd probably wait. I don't want more problems with the vehicle. But if it's losing oil to a significant amount, if it's making a mess somewhere, well, then obviously we need to go down that path. But make sure they get approval through that warranty company for the repair before you proceed. And number two, see what your cost is. There might be a deductible, there might be some incidentals. So just try to get as much information as you can before you go forward with that.
All right. Texter wants to know about this procedure. They have a 2-year-old gas that's in the tank. It will not start. Doesn't say what it is. It's a 1986 Ford 8-cylinder. Will not start. It may need new fuel pump also. It's about 14 gallons in the tank. What would you do about that situation, Nick?
Well, you have to get the fuel out of the tank. You have to siphon it. You can recycle it, and don't hold me to this, but I think the fire departments will take fuel. But get online, look, see where you can take old fuel. There's places you can recycle it. Don't put it down the drain. Don't. Just figure out where it goes. If you don't have the capability of draining the tank or siphoning the tank, you're going to probably have to have it towed in somewhere. But make sure you call ahead. Make sure they have the capabilities and the ability to do that. And I wouldn't be too excited about the fuel pump yet. Let's get the fuel out of there. Try to get it cleaned up. Put some new good quality fuel in there. Maybe an additive in there to try to help kind of clean things up. If we can get it running, try to run it through for a bit, and hopefully it'll clear itself up. If still not starting, someone will have to do some diagnosing to make sure that the pump isn't either powering up or not producing any pressure. So one step at a time. First step is, how do I get the fuel out of the tank?
You and I once in a while talk about the theft of catalytic converters, which we haven't talked about for a while.
You're not supposed to talk about it.
No.
Last time I told you, you mentioned it, and all of a sudden it happens. It's like Beetlejuice, right?
Nick, I have something else to talk to you about. I was mentioning to my son, I said, one of these days with the cost of gasoline, we're going to be hearing about thievery of some sort. And the next day in the news, there we have St. Paul stories, I guess. People are drilling holes in gas tanks. You've heard of it.
Yes, we've seen it.
You have?
It's unfortunate, and it's expensive because you need a new tank, and depending on how it's put in there. And no, you cannot patch it or plug it. We don't do that for sure. A lot of liability and concerns there, obviously. I've done this long enough now. It depends on, the ebbs and flows of the price of fuel that we'll see those unfortunate situations. And like I said, unfortunately, it's expensive. You have a new fuel tank. Sometimes they're very labor intensive. And I just wish people wouldn't do that. But, people are who they are.
Yeah. Wow. Here we go. We had a question, I think it was last week, about refrigerant in AC systems and vehicles. And a tester wants to know, is there a new, and this is in quotes, new Freon? Did you mention something about that?
Well, there's refrigerant seems to evolve every decade or so, maybe a little bit longer. And R134A is the most common on most of our vehicles, there's a 1234YZ, and I don't know why they number them the way they do. I'm sure there's somebody smarter out there that would know. But yeah, there's a newer refrigerant out there. It's been out there for a handful of years. We're starting to see it. We have the equipment to do the recharging and such. The thing is, it's much more expensive, but it's a smaller quantity, and the testing and the procedures are much more refined. You know, the machine that we use is much more expensive, which is part of it. But they found out how they can use less of these gases to create the cold air and give us a good air conditioning. So it used to be maybe 2 pounds of refrigerant. Now it's down in the ounces. It's 10 or 12 ounces. Really? So it's a much more refined system. The procedure is much longer because you really have to make sure there's not a leak in the system. You put it in the vacuum, you put a little charge in it, you recover it again. So it's a very much more time-consuming process. But with that, if it has a leak, it won't let us fill it, which is good. So it means that we have to fix our car so we're not having those gases go out into the atmosphere. So it's a good thing for the long run. Just at the moment, it's expensive, and with time, that'll come down both.
Well, Nick, we have run out of time, plumb run out of time, as they say. And for those folks that maybe need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, and I urge them to get in touch, how do we do that?
Yes, by phone is the easy way, 651-228-1316. We're there to even answer your question. You can live on the other side of town, take it to your dealership, your shop, in your neighborhood, and you should do that. But if you have a question before you go, let us help you. If you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. For that information and more, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
I will see your great crews there next week for an oil change. And, Nick, let's you and I talk 1 week from today.
That sounds like a date. Thanks, Danny.
Good deal. Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.